The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up? The Max Kellerman Show rolls on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests on the Max Kellerman Show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. George Sedano again in for Max. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Damian Woody's going to stop by. It's a lot of quarterback chatter. What's going on in New Orleans? Does Jameis have a real legit shot to unseat Hill? Is that a real competition? What's going to happen with these contract extensions with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield? We'll get into all that. But the Suns take control at 2-0 over the Milwaukee Bucks. They have won 13 of their last 15 games. Is it simply the Suns are just the better team? Do the Bucks have any chance in this series? Let's talk to Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider, friend of the program as well. So, Momo, I'll ask you straight up. Are the Bucks just overmatched here?
I don't think so. I think Milwaukee's going to get game three. I got to be honest. Like, they haven't really played that great. In game one, they actually played better than game two. And I felt like in game one, they gave up way too many free throws. They had too many turnovers, fast break points. That's why they lose there. Game two, they just didn't get enough out of Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton, which was, you know, kind of common for them. They sort of, those are the bellwether guys, right? Giannis is going to be great, and we'll just see what those guys do. But they go back home to Milwaukee, and like that place is going to be rocking. And we've seen this before with Milwaukee, where they look dead in the water. You know, in the first two games of the series, they did that against Brooklyn. Remember that? We were all like, oh, man, this thing's going to be ugly. Brooklyn is amazing, right? And then Milwaukee comes back and wins the series. I don't know. I guess I have some belief in the Bucks because I don't think we've seen them at their best in either of the first two games. And they generally tend to play better at home.
Ramona Shelburne with us here, ESPN NBA insider on the Goodyear Hotline. So with Jrue Holiday, and look, I like Jrue Holiday. When they signed him, now I didn't love all the stuff they traded for to get him. You know, even the contract, like I was happy for him. I just feel like he is a good player, not a great player. And thus far this postseason, basically since the first round where he was excellent against Miami, he has not been very good, Ramona. Here's some numbers for you. Jrue Holiday's playoff shooting splits with the Milwaukee Bucks in his first playoff. 41% from the field, 29% from three, 67% from the free throw line. Just to put it into context, Eric Bledsoe, the guy he replaced, here are his splits. 41% field goal percentage, 25 from three, 73 from the free throw line. Eerily similar. They brought him in to have better production than Bledsoe. They're not getting it. Why?
I think it's a little throws him off when there's plays with Giannis or without Giannis. Like, I think it's just in watching him, you know, in the games where Giannis was hurt, like he just seemed like a different player. And some of that is, you know, his whole thing. He always says, I got to be aggressive. Remember the part of the post game interview on TNT in that series where they said, why don't you play like this all the time? And he goes, yeah, it's a good question. Right, I mean, he's right. He's very self-reflective, and he understands. Like, and he keeps saying, "I just got to be aggressive." But George, you know how that is when you're playing with somebody who's aggressive, and when Giannis is on the court, like he's definitely eating first, no matter what. Like Giannis is like the downhill kind of player, and so Jrue, he just naturally is. He's not going to eat first. He's not going to be quite as downhill or aggressive. Then when he forces himself to be aggressive, because he goes, okay, that's, I got to be, got to attack the rim, I got to do what I got to do, right? He's just like, he's just a one step off. Like, he's just not quite in his rhythm. And then, look, if you sign a long-term deal to play in Milwaukee, it means you're going to sign a long-term deal to play with Giannis. So Drew's going to have to figure this out, you know, playing alongside Giannis and being able to still be in your rhythm and still get going when Giannis is out there. Because it is, as you mentioned, it's a problem. I mean, there's a reason why they upgraded from Eric Bledsoe, traded all that draft capital away and all those players away to go get Jrue Holiday. Now, I will say this. I think Jrue Holiday is a much better defender. Jrue Holiday defensively is expending a lot of energy on Chris Paul in that game. And he was, you know, Chris Paul had a good game, but he didn't have the game that he did the night before because Jrue Holiday gave him his full attention. He uses up a lot of calories on that. But, you know, at least offensively, if you're going to take that many shots, you're going to have to make more of them.
Ramona Shelburne with us here, ESPN NBA Insider, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Got a couple more for you here, Momo. Thanks for the time, because I know you literally stepped off a plane, so thank you for doing that. You mentioned Chris Middleton. Look, the numbers are out there. Stathead had tweeted this out earlier. 19-plus points. Yeah. The Bucks are 10-2. When he's got 18 or fewer, they're 2-5. Now, you know, you mentioned his issues, but let me go bigger picture with Mike Budenholzer. Before the season, even before the playoffs, there was a lot of talk about Mike Budenholzer and his job security. Are we sure that he's still the man for the job?
I'm not sure of anything, George. Like, and I think we all felt like, oh, if they got to the finals, he'd stay, or, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I feel like everything's still up in the air. Like, it's just being around it the last couple of days, it doesn't mean Bud's not a good coach or he hasn't got results this year. I feel like if they win a championship, it would be hard to see him go, okay? But if they don't win, I think all of the conditions, you know, with Brooklyn having a lot of injuries, Atlanta having injuries, like, you know, the two teams that have made it here are the ones who've survived the injuries the best, right? I mean, the Bucks got through their couple of games without Giannis, and the Suns got through their, you know, couple of games here and there where they didn't have Chris Paul. But by and large, they've had the best injury luck, so – Did Milwaukee really grow and evolve and show that they can be the team, right? Did Bud really show that he's the championship coach? If they come back and win, sure. But if not, I still feel like everything's on the table.
Ramona, obviously this finals is a lot about Chris Paul, and deservedly so, for all the reasons we all know and we've outlined for weeks here, okay? But are we witnessing Devin Booker superstar emergence here?
Yes. I mean, I'll give you a much more expansive answer, but the answer to your question is yes. I did not know Devin. I've been covering him in the first 5 years of his career, and he seemed like a good young player on a bad team, and the sense of, you know, just to score and do stats, whatever it was. And the more he has had this run, I kind of just dug in and made some calls. I really think he's trying to get train.com. The day, just 10 plus, you can go find it now. Right, I'll plug myself. Tyson Chandler was like, I played with him when he was a rookie, and I went in and told ownership and the general manager that Devin Booker is that dude. Like, he's that guy. And I remember thinking when he had the game where he, you know, remember Kobe signed the shoes for him, does it be legendary? I was like, wow, Kobe, like, that's a big stretch there. I mean, that's a nice encouragement, but like, Devin Booker hadn't done anything yet to be getting like that kind of love from Kobe Bryant, right? And some Tyson Chandler told me, he goes, Hoopers know, like players know, and they've always known. Said he knew Devin before he came in the league, and I think there's just something about him. He's got that competitive gene that we just didn't see because the Suns around him were so bad. Like, he was just obscured by how bad Phoenix was and how bad the franchise was. But he really does have that Kobe gene, George. I mean, he just has that competitive fire, that poise. I mean, last night when they get, you know, the Suns led pretty much wire to wire. The game gets close. It gets to 6 points. Devin Booker hits the three. The game gets close down to 7 points. Devin Booker hits two threes in a row. The lead's back to 13. I mean, that dude, he just digs in and makes the big shots in those moments. And he really has a lot more game than being just a great shooter. Like, he really has the mid-range game, the finishing game. Like, he's a lot more competitive than people give him credit for. So I think this feels like the first time we see Devin Booker in the finals, may not be the last.
30 seconds, Ramona, because I got to go to my man Damian Woody to talk some NFL here in a second. You mentioned just kind of he's got that Kobe in him. You've covered Kobe's career, all right? You documented pretty much the entirety of it. What specifically do you see in Devin Booker that reminds you of Kobe?
It's the competitiveness and the sort of never doubting himself. So I had this great story when in his pre-draft workout, they put him on a game, and it was like, you know, he's this kid. He didn't even start at Kentucky. And they put him out there at the game of knockout, and they say, okay, keep going until you – keep scoring. You're on offense until you can't score. And when somebody stops, you go on defense. And when somebody scores on you, you're out. Devin Booker could not get off the court. They couldn't – they were like, okay, we've seen enough. You're just scoring and scoring and scoring. Great workout, kid. And he's like, what are you talking about? This is the game. I'm not getting off the court. And, like, they only had an hour for this workout. They had to, like, kick him off the game. And he used several colorful words there, okay? Like, several four-letter words. an 18-year-old kid who didn't even start at Kentucky. He's cursing out these executives and coaches for the Suns, basically saying, you know, I'm not getting off the court. I can't say this on the radio, George, but, like, they looks at that and goes, oh, this kid's got some – this kid's got a little competitive fire. Like, he has it. Whatever you want to call the it factor, he's got it. And I think we should have realized when he scored 70. That should have been our – that should have been the tip-off. Like, the kid's got something special. He's not just the shooter.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA Insider. Great stuff, as always, Momo. Thank you for the time. Thank you for calling us right off the plane. Appreciate it. Take care, okay?
Yep, thanks, Georgie.
You got it. Take care. That's Ramona Shelburne here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We'll switch gears right now, talk some NFL with Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. Woody, you see a little Kobe in this kid or what, man? I know you were listening to Ramona just there a second ago.
Listen, that's high praise. You know, I'm a Lakers fan, man, so, you know, it's very high praise when you talk about Kobe and Devin Booker, but I do see some of that. I think the only area that, you know, that Devin Booker needs to raise his game as it relates to Kobe is on defense, because we know Kobe was all defense several times in his career. So if he can bring that aspect to his game as well, boy, I think that's going to be the closest thing to Black Mamba that we've seen in the league.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Damian Woody with us here. Woody, good to talk to you. Now, speaking of comparisons, so apparently SI asked Patrick Mahomes about, are he and Brady LeBron and Michael of the NFL or whatever? And look, to his credit, he said, look, it's too early for that stuff. But he didn't shy away from how competitive he is while also showing reverence. I believe he handled that great. But when you look at them and when you look at Patrick Mahomes' ceiling, can he be a guy that you say, this dude could be one of the greatest of all time already? Can you make that distinction?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, you can see it. You can make a case for it. He has a long way to go. And I think the great thing about Patrick Mahomes is he's a humble guy. He wants to be the best. He works fast. But the thing he has going for him is time. Remember, Patrick Mahomes is only 25 years old. This is a guy that's already won a league MVP, been to the Super Bowl twice, won one. So this guy still has his whole career in front of him. Now, I know it's a Herculean effort to try to match what Tom Brady has done, going to 10 Super Bowls and winning 7. But, you know, with the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and that cast out in Kansas City, anything is possible.
Damian Woody with us here, ESPN NFL analyst. He also, I don't know if you saw this video on TMZ from the American Century Championship Golf charity golf event, where he also, not only is he trying to beat Brady, but he beat his own tight end, Travis Kelce, in a chug-off. He shotgunned a beer in 2 seconds. To me, that just elevates your game. Now, let me ask you a question. Could Tom Brady chug a beer in 2 seconds? You played with him.
Yeah, and listen, I've told this before. You know, when we were playing back in New England, we used to go to this hole in the wall barbecue spot down the street from Foxborough Stadium. And I remember one time on a Thursday, actually, we had a little drinking contest and Tom just came out there and just obliterated everybody, all the linemen. So, like, this dude is competitive in everything. We see that everyone sees it on the field and all that and on the golf course, but this dude can hold his own, when it comes to drinking as well.
That's funny. I did not know that story. I had not heard that. See, because I thought he was a lightweight after what I saw after that championship boat parade. But maybe, maybe it was a little too much tequila that day.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing when you're drinking that hard liquor, man. That hits you quick. But, you know, when you talk about that beer, it's a different story, man. And he can put it down now.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's talk about quarterback competitions on the field. Mickey Loomis of the Saints was asked about Jameis Winston, and he said he'll be in competition with Taysom Hill. Do you believe Jameis Winston has a legit shot to show us what we all thought he was capable of in a quarterback competition in New Orleans?
Absolutely. Listen, a couple things as it relates to Jameis Winston. Everyone wants to point out his last season in Tampa where he had 30 interceptions. That's bad. There's no question about it, and Jameis will tell you that himself. But at the same time, he threw 30 touchdowns and over 5,000 yards. The talent is there. There's a reason why he was picked number one. And Jameis Winston is still a young quarterback in this league. So the fact that, you know, Sean Payton and company decided to bring Jameis Winston aboard, They understand the talent that Jameis Winston had. They played against them twice a year for several years. I think that if Sean Payton can coach those interceptions out of him, take better care of the football, as far as the talent, as far as throwing the football, he has elite talent throwing the football. So I think that if you look at between him and Taysom Hill, he's a better natural passer of the football.
Damian Woody with us here. As we switch gears here a little bit, there's a lot of quarterbacks were drafted in that last draft. Guys like Justin Herbert elevated their game, certainly. You know, Tua Tagovailoa is kind of like an incomplete. Same with Burrow. You know, Jordan Love was in that class. When you look at that group, okay, and there are a number of quarterbacks in there, Woody, who has the most pressure on them right now of that group I just mentioned?
I think Tua has the most pressure for him because – you know, this is a Miami team that won 10 games last year, okay? 10 games. And in this era that we're living in right now, these quarterbacks are expected to come in and hit the ground running. I mean, we've just seen a lot of these quarterbacks that's been doing pretty well right out of college. So I think for Tua Tagovailoa, who's a high draft pick, we've seen what the Miami Dolphins have done as far as surrounding him with talent. I think this is going to be a huge year to establish himself as the franchise quarterback, or do the Miami Dolphins start kind of peaking elsewhere?
Man, I'm just worried about that young offensive line they got in front of him. They don't have like a tradition. Now, a running back could evolve or could, you know, that situation could evolve and somebody could drop in their lap. But, you know, they got the receivers, to your point, right? They got Fuller, they got Parker, they drafted Waddle. I like their explosiveness in that regard. But I feel like that offensive line, that run game, I got some questions about it.
I have questions too, but we know that this is an impatient league. You know, this league is, for some reason now, you know, it doesn't allow the guys to develop. And again, the fact that Miami won games last year, I think sometimes that can, from a fan base perspective, it can lead to, you know, it can be a mirage per se, because Miami's going to play a tougher schedule this year. And I think this year we're going to see what the true colors of the Miami Dolphins. We'll see how that all plays out.
Woody, last one for you. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield are all waiting for their contract extension. Do you believe it is a smart move for NFL teams? And you're starting to see this trend, right, where they're waiting through the 5 years before making a legit decision on whether committing to these guys or not. Do you like that position from the team? And who do you think is the first domino to fall there in that group?
Yeah, listen, I think I do like it. I think, you know, we've seen a couple examples, you know, recently with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz where those, you know, the teams decided to move forward earlier than what they had to, and they've come to regret those decisions, both of those along with the teams that drafted them. So I think the teams are going to still play it and going to see, you know, okay, if the guy maybe is taking a deal that's more team-friendly, great. But if not, we're going to wait this thing out because we're in no rush to try to go ahead and execute that big deal because, you know, with all those guys, it's going to be big, big money deals for those three quarterbacks.
Woody, before I let you go, what kind of dog is that in the background, man?
Oh, man, well, that's a terrier, man. She's like 6 pounds, but man, she's loud. And I got her in the room. She's desperate to get out of the other room, so I'm about to let her out of the room once I hang out with you guys.
Oh man, yeah. You know, God bless her. That's a spoiled little baby right there. That you definitely spoiled that little baby.
Oh yeah, she's spoiled, man. She was up before I just home with you guys, so she's ready to have some freedom.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Good to hear your voice again, man. Take care. Be good. Thanks again.
All right. You too now.
All right. Take care. There's Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. Connor, was I the only one? Like, I had to ask about the dog at some point.
No, not just us. Also, TV asked about it.
Good Lord. Hey, man, coming up, we've got No Doubt. We'll get it to the NBA Finals. We'll get it to UFC 264. We even got some Euros to get into there as well as the Euro Cup Finals coming up here. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, man, I'll tell you this. If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack, man. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, Their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. And in fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you that needle in the haystack. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, we got No Doubt coming up in just a moment. George Sedano in for Max on the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Max Kellerman Show continues here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max, all presented by Progressive Insurance. And all the guests you've heard today have appeared via the Goodyear Hotline, thanks to Chael Sonnen, talking UFC 264, Ramona Shelburne, talking NBA Finals, and Damian Woody, talking NFL with us. Earlier in the show, of course, if you missed any part of the show, you can subscribe to Max's podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. Tune in to an NL Central battle tomorrow night as the Cubs host the Cardinals. Coverage begins at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We're going to get into No Doubt here in a second. But real quick, coming up in the next segment, if you are a college football dork like me and you love recruiting and you love talking college football, even at this time of year, which, hey, look, we're close, man. We're a month away from things getting fun with college football, I think, or at least starting to get fun. So I've got the story for you. I've got a crazy good fun story if you are into college football and recruiting, and it's basically about overachievers and underachievers over the last 5 years as far as programs are concerned. You're going to want to check it out. All right, but first, let's do it. Let's get to No Doubt.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of these.
No Doubt.
All right, Connor is in today because Raj is vacationing. I think he's in wine country somewhere. He's probably drunk already somewhere, Raj. Bubba's out today with a deserved day off because I feel like Bubba works. Bubba's like the hamster wheel of ESPN Radio. I feel like he just doesn't stop working, so eventually they got to give him some time off. So Connor is in the house today. Connor, what do we got?
Yeah, we got the B team in today, but
No B.
We're going to manage.
No B. Right, maybe A minus, but no B.
All right, we'll take A minus. Let's get down to it. Bucks are down 0-2 heading back to Milwaukee. Is this series over, George?
No Doubt.
No Doubt.
At the end of the day, man, it's just as simple as the Suns are better. They're better coached. They're better coached on the floor. They've got a better leader in Chris Paul. They may have a guy in Devin Booker who is the best offensive player on both teams. No, not May. I'm going to say it. He is the best offensive player on both teams, at least the most well-rounded. And Monty's done a great job. They execute their game plan to perfection. Could the Bucks win a game, even two? Sure, but I think this is the Suns' championship to lose, barring a catastrophic injury. So No Doubt. What's next?
All right, McGregor, UFC 264. He's lost 2 of his last 3 fights. On Saturday, tomorrow night, he's going to get it back on track, and he's going to get another shot at a title.
Oh, this is so tough. You're backing me into a corner. A corner of the octagon. I'm going to say, nah. Oh, that pains me to say it. But Dustin Poirier said this. Poirier said this in the press conference yesterday, and I kind of agree with him. The aura is gone. And if you look at it, you mentioned it, Conor. He's lost 2 of his last 3 fights, Conor McGregor. And he really hasn't evolved. If you look at him from just a stylistic perspective, his fighting style hasn't evolved. Is he more of a boxer, perhaps? Look, his left hand has always been tremendous. There are subtle things he can do, right, to avoid those calf kicks that were messing with him. Perhaps he puts his front foot at a 45-degree angle, uses his shin to kind of block that and deter Poirier a little bit in that regard. But Poirier has evolved. He took him down to the ground in the first round of that last fight, completely stunned Connor. And Poirier is more confident. And I just think he's the better fighter. The guy, by the way, in these rematches, and Poirier is a favorite, a minus 135 favorite. The last 9 favorites, 8 of the last 9 have won the rematch. So Poirier's the favorite. I'm going Dustin Poirier as the winner. What's Ouch. Next?
That is tough for the Connor brand. All right, we will keep it moving, though. England has not won a major tournament since their World Cup win in 1966. Shout out to our man Liam Chapman. They will be in the finals of the Euros at Wembley Stadium on Sunday. George, is it coming home?
I'm going to say no doubt.
No doubt.
Yeah, man. Listen, no I just doubt. Think much like we've talked about with Chris Paul and his 16 years of trying to figure it out and disappointments here and there, that it's just his time. We talked about that a lot yesterday on the show, and I feel like for England, it's just their time. I know that the Italian contingent will push back on that, perhaps, but I do feel like the stars are aligning for England, so no doubt. What's next?
All right, Mahomes went on First Take yesterday, and he said it is too early for comparisons to Brady at this point. He's got an MVP, he's got a Super Bowl and another Super Bowl appearance under his belt at just 25. Is it too early for those comparisons?
Nah.
Nah.
So, we live for comparisons. When we were talking about that story earlier in the show, I said it. You guys say you hate it, but let's be real. We have the metrics that show you really love it, okay? Now, I don't think it's the only discussion you should have about Brady and Mahomes, but his early success, Tom's early success, albeit slightly different, not apples to apples per se, I think you have to, because in any walk of life, you want to try to compare yourself or achieve what the greats have done, okay? Look, I am in no means, by any stretch of the imagination, the greatest broadcaster that's ever lived. I feel like I'm a pretty damn good radio host. And if Max is the greatest radio host of all time, then I want to be as good as Max. So, much like Patrick Mahomes said, he shows reverence, right? Like, I would show reverence to Max. It's why I like doing the show, because I look up to Max. I think Max is great. But I'm a competitor. Do I feel like I can do my thing? Yeah, of course I do, just like Patrick Mahomes does. So, shout out to Patrick Mahomes, and shout out to all of you who are willing to compare him, because he is as unique a talent as we've seen at the quarterback position. All right, what's next?
All right, man, I heard you had big plans to go to Fury Wilder 3, unfortunately postponed. Are you going to get a refund for everything now?
Nah. Man. I called the airline. I did. I said, hey, so my plans were to go see this event. The event has been postponed. Any shot you guys can give me a refund? And they're like, nope, you have to pay the change fee, and then, you know, we'll give you like a voucher or something. I was like, man, maybe I might just still go to Vegas then. Because I feel like by the time I do all that, you know, these airlines are tricky, man. They get you, you know, with these exchanges. It's never equitable. So I may just still go to Vegas that weekend, fight or no fight. All right, that is no doubt, Connor. Great job there. Coming up next, if you are a college football dork, if you want to know who the biggest overachievers and underachievers have been, I will tell you who they are. Stick around. You're listening to the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
No doubt.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
I think that what's happened is, in a social media world, I don't think people give Scotty his due.
Greeny, weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, of course, as well on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker. All you got to do is say, play ESPN Radio. Coming up after us here on the network, Chinay Ngola Jr. They'll have Wanda Sykes and Ray Allen joining their show. So check that out. I'm going to get into this college football thing here in a second for all you college football dorks just like me. But, man, I got to give love to the Padres again, coming back down 8 runs yesterday. What an incredible performance. And just having Daniel Camarena, who is a local kid from San Diego, getting his first at-bat in the major leagues, hitting a grand slam. That's crazy, man. First pitcher. To hit a grand slam since 1985. And the first pitcher to hit a grand slam in his first major league at bat since 1898. This is insane, dude. That NL West, man, I'm telling you, It's crazy. Three teams with 50 wins. I'm curious to see how it plays out. The rest of the way is going to be fascinating because the Giants and Dodgers play each other a bunch, but the Padres do not play them until like late August. So, and the Giants' schedule is getting tougher. Their bullpen is starting to get taxed. You know, they've been a bit of an overachiever. But the way that the rest of the schedule works out from here to September 1st, the Giants are facing 30 teams that are contending, which would be less than five games behind their division leader. The Dodgers have 26. The Padres only have 17. So if the Padres are going to make hay in that NL West, which I think is the best division in baseball this year, and certainly the best division in the National League, I don't think that's even close. They're going to have to do that. So wild stuff in Major League Baseball. And I don't know about everybody else, but I have really just kind of dove headfirst into Major League Baseball this year beyond just a couple of teams that I'm normally interested in. It's been a fun season so far. This MLB weekend preview is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. All right. So let me get this college football deal for you real quick. So I'm a huge college football dork. I do not hide that. I am the guy here on the West Coast in LA because I grew up on college football growing up in Miami. The University of Miami was my favorite team as a kid. Them and the Dolphins, but really more the University of Miami because, let's face it, they were winning when I was a kid in the 80s and 90s, more so than the Dolphins, although I do love myself those Dan Marino Dolphins. I am the guy here on the West Coast that gets up at 6 a.m. to watch College Game Day, and I'm the guy who's watching that Hawaii Chase game. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, you degenerates. The Hawaii Chase game, which, by the way, on the West Coast, ends around 11 o'clock, which is much nicer than on the East Coast. And as a sports fan, what I will tell you is this. I know that most people don't ever move from wherever they live. I have moved several times in my life, including a second time to the West Coast. And if you're a sports fan, find yourself some time in your life to live on the West Coast because it is so much easier on your body and your mind and your soul. When games in Major League Baseball and the NBA are ending at 10 and 10:30, and you get a full night's sleep, or that Hawaii Chase game doesn't end at 2 in the morning, it's 11. It's nice. All right, but speaking of college football, so I want to give a shout-out to The Athletic and Max Olson, who is a college football writer for them. He did a five-year study on the Power Five schools. And this study basically tells us who the biggest overachievers are and who the biggest underachievers are in the Power Five over that same span. And the way that they've determined this is their recruiting rankings, their composite recruiting rankings versus their actual production. So do you guys have some like football music? Maybe not. I don't know if there's like a, is there a college football theme? I should have asked you this before, to be frank with you.
We're
but maybe like some sort of like a game day or something. There, this will work. You know, this is more Chris Berman. So I'll just, of course, have to do my Chris Berman impersonation. Whoop, whoop, whoop. He good go all the way. Well, these schools have gone all the way. The overachievers. Actually, you know what? I'm going to start with the underachievers because I feel like that's an interesting way to go about it. So the Power Five underachievers, the biggest under... There we go. That's some college football music right there. The biggest underachiever since 2017... out of the SEC, the Arkansas Razorbacks, their composite score of recruiting rankings, 30th. Their actual rank in that stretch, as far as their wins and losses, 103rd. Rutgers at number two, ranked 54th in recruiting, 112th overall. This one, this one's tough. Florida State, over that stretch since 2017, they have a composite score of the fifth best recruiting ranking, only the 61st best output in that stretch. Look, Florida State football has been down for a while. And we'll see. Mike Norvell can turn this thing around. But it's amazing to me that these Florida schools are down at all with such the amount of talent they have there. Number four on the list was Maryland. Number five was UCLA. Number six was Illinois. Number seven was Nebraska, a blue blood. Tennessee at eight, Vanderbilt nine, Kansas at 10. Now let's go to the overachievers in the Power Five. No surprise, number one, Iowa State. Matt Campbell, I got a man crush on that dude. You're talking about a dude who went from, like, coaching as an assistant at Bowling Green, Mount Union, Toledo. This guy, I think he's arguably the hottest young coach in all of college football. I mean, he is just fan-freaking-tastic. So they're number one. By the way, number two, their neighbors, Iowa. So real quick, Iowa State, 57th as far as recruiting, 19th overall in that five-year span. Iowa, number two on that list. Number three is Wisconsin. Number four is Boston College. Number five is Northwestern. Six, Oklahoma State. Seven, Kansas State. Eight, Wake Forest. Nine is Utah to the Pac-12. And number 10, Indiana for my guy Jeff Martindale, who's there in Bristol, maybe listening in his office. He's the only Indiana football fan I know at the campus. All right, thanks to all our guests, Ramona, Chael, and Woody. Thanks to the crew back in Bristol. Max will be back on Monday. You guys have a great weekend. Chanae and Golic are up next. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.